Welcome, everyone, to our Thursday night Stargate Roundtable. We're happy to have all of you with us, and we're looking forward to having a very good evening here. We will begin with Angel Sue setting the tone and getting us started. So, Angel Sue, pass the talking stick to you.
And I thank you, Marita Roberts. And I say welcome in the light of the most radiant one to all of you. We're so glad that you're here. We are calling in the light of God that never, never fails. And we're opening this in the office of the Christ, and only in the office of the Christ, as we invoke the loving energies of Saint Germain and the violet flame. So if you will just call in all of your support team or teams, your higher self, your beloved twin flame, your guides, your masters, your teachers, your angels, your avatars, your councils of light, and all those from the many dimensions that celebrate who you are, for being here now to hold the energies that you do. And we welcome them too. And we're just going to move our energies from the head into the heart space. And let a beam of light shoot from the bottom of your heart, straight down through your knees and your toes into the center of the earth, to that beautiful cobalt blue sun in the center of the earth. And anchor that energy in with the mother energies. And then from the top of your heart, just intend that a beam of light shoots up to the great central sun and anchors with you to your true divine heritage. Allow calibrations and blessings to come from both areas. And let the light fill you up and swirl around you, within you, as you share all this one with all there is, this at-one-ment. And let each lungful of air that comes in fill you up with more love. And each lungful of air that leaves, pass on the gratitude. And we are simply just going to celebrate everything that we encounter in our bodies, in our lives, in our minds, in our emotions. What's coming up is a rare gift to choose who you want to be. Choose the divinity within you. Choose the law of one. And so for this and for all of the beings that we claim in our lives, our family, our friends, all the beings that we're aware of here on the planet, within, upon, and around, whether they're black hats or white hats or gray hats, any being, we celebrate their path with praise, respect, thanks, and love. And we call in a new paradigm, a new heaven on earth. So with the original law of creation, all the things that you carry in your heart, in your mind, all your situations, all the others that you're aware of, all others in the superconscious with that at-one-ment connection, we're calling for the perfect, divine, happy solution to happen. And so with all these beings known and unknown, seen and unseen, we're asking that they come now and we celebrate, for we are all one. And as one is harmed, then all are harmed, yet as one is healed, all are healed. And therefore, in the name of who we are, and we are one with all there is, we ask that only the highest good of all concerned happen here, and we give thanks that this is done for ourselves, for all beings, for Nasara, Nasara, the Reformation Act, for our faction Three White Knights, and all light bearers, whistleblowers, media people, all of us to bring forth a new paradigm on this planet. And so, with grateful hearts, we do say thank you, and we're closing this part off by saying, all men, all women, all children, all beings, all creation, we are all one. And Marita, I'm prepared to pull the three cards if you wish to have that spiritual pathway for the week.
It's been so fascinating to see how well that has coordinated with what Carolyn does with the Mayan calendar. And so do you have them ready?
Yes, I do. And if you'll anchor the energy for all of us, let's pull the three cards.
I am anchoring for the Stargate Roundtable for all those listening. And so
yes.
You tell me when to start.
Go ahead. I'm running my thumbnail over the cards now.
Now?
Got that one? For our next card, please.
Now?
And our third card.
Now?
All righty then. Grabbing the glasses. Oh. This is the card for Archangel Covenant Reunion, and it's as if a circle of stars are all linked up with a golden ray of energy in between each star. On the back it says, I am aware that at the appointed time, all those earthbound initiates of the angelic realm shall gather together, form unions upon the earth. And with the rising of the frequencies that we're experiencing at this time, I truly believe we are connecting in with each other more and more. So this card is the energy that we can anchor in the reunion of the divine from now through Sunday. And as a group, then from Monday until the next Stargate, we have the Ankh sign, the Egyptian Ankh sign, and it's called Illumina, illumination. On the back, it's light I see, light I feel, light I am. So we'll be anchoring in so much more light Monday through Thursday. And the gift that we are being calibrated with, we are being given, is a golden key, the birthright key. And on the back it says, the sacred communion I seek is all being given to me. I'm sorry, it feels kind of emotional at the moment. I need only to turn the key. So, as you intend to walk your path divine, to live your purpose, to facilitate the reunion, the illumination, all you have to do is accept the key and turn it on. Open the door. So, Marita, thank you for anchoring these energies, and I pass the talking stick.
Well, thank you for sharing your talents and your abilities with us. And I'll remind everyone that Angel Sue is available to do readings for people with the angel cards as well as the tarot. If you'd like to connect with her, it's Angel Sue, A-N-G-E-L-S-U, at
bellsouth.net.
bellsouth.net.
Right.
Okay. Well, we thank you for doing that, and now we pass the talking stick to Carolyn and let her tell us what's up for the Mayan calendar this week.
Well, thank you, Marita, and yes, today is a red electric dragon, and indeed, we are in a time in the Mayan calendar of a lot of beginnings. It's a niche, the very first solar eclipse. I also call it the mother energy, but it's a dragon energy as we look at it here. And electric, that's a three tone. So what we have 2 days ago, then we began a new wave of in Kowak, which is the storm energy, and that was also the same day as the new moon and the solar eclipse. And so the new moon is about new beginnings, and solar eclipse was about a reset, and the new wave is about a new wave. So it's a cycle of new beginnings, as in the moon cycle. And it's also a new unial today. So let's have our intentions and have the intention to manifest and to integrate all the gifts that are coming our way, and have the intention of what we are manifesting in this cycle, and have the intention to integrate what that solar eclipse reset brought us as a new beginning as well. So with all these new beginnings, today being another one, a new unial, beginning of 20 days in the cycle, it's the fifth unial in the matrix that we're in, the Zoltine. And so that's about centered movement. So it's also about integrating our gifts and being in balance that way. So there we go, a three dragon energy today, and then tomorrow a four eek, the wind. And that four is self-existing, that good measure, self-existing of each, the wind, that those voices from spirit, those connections to our ancestors, those winds of change. So there are lots of good energy Friday with that wind energy. And then on Saturday, a five Akbal, the night, and again that five, that centered movement. And Akbal being the night, it's about working with our abundance and the gifts of the night, the gifts of working in the nighttime, the inaugural. And on Sunday, a six Khan. Six is that energy of rhythmic movement, and Khan being the seed energy. And so it is the rhythm of the garden. 'Tis the time to plant those seeds and be in that rhythm of the growing. We see that the earth is sprouting out in that spring energy right now, and it does bring that energy for all of the work in our lives that we're planting seeds for and growing and nurturing. So do that garden work on Sunday, and then on Monday we have a portal day, and it's the seven Chichong, the serpent. That serpent energy and the seven energy, that powerful midpoint tone, resonance. Chichong, serpent, the warrior aspect, it's about remaining open to change and distinguishing between the body and the soul and transmuting energy. And Kowak, that's what we do in this wave that we're in. This wave is a time of possibility and transformation for this entire 13-day wave that we're in, that we started on Tuesday. And so be aware of these possibilities of changing and the transformation taking place. And know that we're in this path where these changes likely and possible, and don't limit that. So there we go. We got that portal day on Monday. Work with those energies, with that snake energy, that seven. Good tone to work with. Very powerful day on Monday for doing our work. And then on Tuesday, it's primary day again, so lots of energy going towards those primaries. And we have that eight tone and team meeting to work with. And the eight tone is about relationships and harmony. And it's the octave. It's about fine-tuning the harmonic resonance, it's the galactic integration, and all those good things. And then that Kimi energy of linking, being that link between the world, between the past and the present, or future, or between the light and the dark, between the ages, heaven and earth. So, good energy for possibilities on primary day. And then on Wednesday, it's a nine manique, that healing energy of the hand, or the deer, and nine being expanding those cycles, activation. And then another portal day. It'll be a great day for the Stargate Roundtable. It's Stargate Day, and it's a manifestation of just that. So it's 10 Labat. So manifestation and 10 energy in the Stargate. So let's celebrate that. That portal aspect with that as well, and that key that we've been given with those cards, we've got it there. There's the Stargate with the portal, extra dimensionality, lift with it, and work to do, and lots to manifest. Let's do it. And so there you go. That's the weekend with you. Thursday's powerful with being a portal day, as well as Monday that way, and we're just in a lot of new beginnings. So I think it looks like fun to me, and there's definitely angels afoot. So I pass the talking stick back to you, Marita.
Well, thank you very much. We look forward here to, we've had a lunar eclipse and having the solar here in a couple weeks. So just a lot happening in this month, isn't there?
Oh, indeed, indeed. And it's March, and so the winds of change are here. I think we're in for it, and I just say no limitation. Let's do it all.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for bringing us up to date on that. And one of the things I want to make sure everyone is here now, that we have a new number that for the phone that BBS is providing for us, and this is going to be what we will be using. So get your pencils and paper, and let's write it down. 605-475-1600. And then you'll just punch 2 as station 2, and that's all you have to do in order to listen to these calls. 605-475-1600. And I'm going to be phasing out the other one that we have used in the past. So you won't be needing that PIN code anymore. You won't be needing that old number. And this is live and active now. So I thought I'd wait to make sure everybody was on here. And 605-475-1600. And then press number 2 for station 2. That's the station that we are on. So, and also the archives will be on here. When you punch number 3 then afterwards, you'll be able to listen to the archives for Stargate Roundtable as well. So we have
to hear about the archives.
I didn't announce at the beginning, but we will have Omina is going to be on tonight. She's usually on the third Thursday, but it's the second Thursday this month. And so she will be taking questions and allowing you to call in for that. So that's what's on for our guest hour tonight.
Marita?
Did you have something else, Carolyn, you were saying?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. All right.
Marita, well, this is Kathy speaking.
Go ahead, and we've had some power outages here, and I think that's one of the reasons I've got some challenges. All of our computers and everything was off last night, and so that's created some challenges here. I'll have to have everything fixed again. It seems like every time we have this kind of a storm or whatever, I have sound challenges, and so that's why I'm on the phone and for the sound and on the computer with the with Skype. So,
okay,
Tara,
Marita,
and Bummer,
can you hear me okay, Marita?
What?
Marita, I don't know if Marita can hear me or not.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I can hear you.
All right, good. So since you are on the telephone this evening, you're not going to be able to see the IMs on Skype when people call in. Is that correct?
No, I can see that. I've got the Skype up, and I can see it. I just can't have this. I don't have any sound.
Okay,
so
I just wanted to make
computer.
Sure that you had the ability to see who was coming in and out. All right, so that's good.
I do, but you can be my backup.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So Tara and Rama, I know, Rama, you always have a lot of interesting people that you talk to, so tell us about what some of those messages have been this week.
Greetings.
Yes. We got to say at the top of the line, though, that the King of Swords said that House Speaker Paul Ryan is not the President of the Republic of the United States, nor
no.
will he ever be.
That's right. And Justin Trudeau and his wife met with Obama and his wife in the garden today. And there's a lot of wild, wild, wild things going on right now across the planet with this solar eclipse. And as the days go past, the ripples in the pond get bigger. And it's like a butterfly flaps its wings in Brunei, and we feel it over here as a Category 3 hurricane. And today I got sent, I haven't had the shuttlecraft for a few days. It's in the shop. We get it back tomorrow. I talked with Natasha today, and she sent me this article from Michael Salia in Exopolitics, Unveiling Earth's Ancient History, the Emerald Doorway. And this is a book that a guy wrote, yet it's kind of a fiction based in fact. And it's about
three mystic crystals, right, Rama?
Yes, and these mystic crystals, let's say this has to do with the great crystal of Atlantis and the different warring factions that were going on at the time of the destruction of Atlantis in the last days. And an ET race was trying to get a hold of the great crystal to use it for their purposes, besides the Earth humans that were the Elohim, not the Elohai, and they had already fallen, and there were nefarious things going on in Atlantis with the great crystal as well. So it was kind of coming at all sides. What Natasha was explaining to me about this man who wrote this book, The Emerald Doorway, this is based on a true story of this guy where he's sort of an ET archaeologist, as it were, and finding, like I have experienced, going through that passageway all the way up to the Ashtar command base under our ski basin. And this, who wrote this book, The Emerald Doorway, has been going to various places around the planet, like those, the pyramid in Bosnia, where there are these huge underground rooms there in technology that has not been used since the time of Atlantis and Lemuria. And the technology, it was sitting on tables that you have to be at least 10 to 12 feet high to be able to get up to the tables and use the technology. That tells me...
Or you got to be able to levitate.
Exactly. And I don't think the folks were levitating at the time. They were 10 to 12 to 50 and higher.
Well, if they were that tall, then they had to kind of shrink themselves.
Yeah, there were all kinds of beings here at the time. And they're all back. I can just put it that way. And at the same, in the same breath, all the frequencies and energies are moving up in octave at such an exponential rate. Like I was telling Kathy and all of us, I went over to the park across from our house today, and the trees were literally vibrating, and the grass, the rocks. You could just put your hand on the trunk of the tree.
I don't think everybody does that. You've tuned yourself in, right?
Yeah.
It's there. It's happening.
Was literally like somebody had turned on a low pulse of frequency, kind of like a soft vibrating, like when you get your feet massaged. And I was just kind of blown away. And what Natasha said is it's the vibratory rates of everything, whether it's animal, vegetable, and mineral, it is all being raised up to the 12th dimension. This is making it extremely hard for the 13 families to continue their dark deeds, yet they are playing it out to the very end moment. And it's starting to come out now about the stories of these so-called, like Dr. Greer talked about in his last interview. They want to pull off a fake alien invasion and a fake rapture, where they literally pull out their anti-gravity craft, probably some of the TR-3Bs that are silent, these triangular-shaped craft, or even the ET craft that look like some of Billy Meyer's friends that visited Semyazi and others, and some of the Pleiadian-type craft. They want to play with this, and they will be met by Ashtar and friends. And, you know, full disclosure is going to happen one way or another. It would certainly be nice if it happened in a peaceful manner, rather all these folks getting caught with their pants down and having to go, oh, we screwed up real bad. The whole world knows. And
I think it's going to be the latter, Rama.
It's going to be the latter because they are going down with, you know, fighting, kicking, screaming. And they just will not give up till the very end.
And the King of Swords thought these are the same evangelicals that are saying Paul Ryan is the next president.
And General Dunford is the vice president. That is the furthest thing from the truth.
And king said that this Dinar Dong thing is a black op.
Yeah.
And it's coming from, they call it the Dominionist Church of America.
That is a very dark place.
Yes, and they are taking their orders from the Protocols of Elders of Zion.
This is the Satan Lucifer worshiping folks that...
called C Street.
C Street, K Street, Wall Street. And Bernie Sanders said, I'm coming for you.
Right, and he repeated that... the Dominionist Church was headed up before Bush Jr. became president, you know, got inaugurated in 2001.
Right.
And they did the same thing like what happened in 1981 when, you know, Reagan held until Reagan put his hand on the Bible and got sworn in, the hostages didn't get released. And so until... and when Bush Jr. put his hand on there and got inaugurated, Pat Robertson transferred his presidency of the Dominionist Church of America to
Bush Jr.
And Bush Jr. became head of church and state. That's called a dictator.
Yeah.
And that's what's been going on. And so, and then the king said, the Kaas said to you about... the light workers really need to get it together, right?
Yes, and to really comprehend on a deep spiritual level that what's happening here is on so many different inner frequencies and places. The best way I can describe it, to put it succinctly, as he said it, is the energies are moving up so fast and so intense that you have to be about thy father's business. And if you get caught in your ego and the other stuff, and we are not serving humanity as a whole, and we're serving self, it is creating this energetic that it is a lower vibration that is not of the office of the Christ. And these folks that are playing with these, you know, so-called quintillions of dollars that are, I just have to say, they're soaked in blood. And it's got to do with all of the issues that have not been healed at this moment. You cannot have a global currency reset and a revaluation of currencies. Yeah, there are things going on across the planet where China is moving things around, Russia's moving things around, all the countries are shifting their consciousness about how we do business in a way in which it's not serving the whole. And this is the overall message the king said. As we are serving the whole of this story, all of humanity, it is in our loving best interest to work with the energies of the office of the Christ, not the other left hand that took us down the wrong road way back in Atlantis leading up to right now. And it is as plain as the nose on your face. The stories, the energies, the things that are going on across this planet, they parallel the destruction of Atlantis and Lemuria and the destruction of Germany just before Hitler came to power. We are watching a man right now who's being influenced by ET life forms that have a vested interest in our extinction, not our continuance. And this is a big deal. This is why there are so many whistleblowers coming forward, risking their very lives, like ET Corey and others that are putting their lives on the line in the face of the 13 families. And just what comes to mind is like the story that came out in the Daily Mail, which is a UK paper, because this story won't get published anywhere else except in the tabloid trash papers over here, like the Globe or the National Enquirer. But former Miss Arkansas came out, and she published her memoirs in the last little while. She had a little soiree with Bill Clinton somewhere in the time when he was moving from Arkansas into the house. And apparently they got drunk as skunks. He put her nightie on and danced around, and she basically said he was so in bed. But she also said that she was a photojournalist, and she was kind of a friend of the Clintons for a very long time, and then something switched, and she went to other countries. But she always had a trail of spies following her, trying to kill her. And this is why she put forward her memoirs at this moment.
She's risking her life.
Risking her life, yeah. Saying, you know, I'm putting it out there just like, you know, David Brock used to work with Susan McDougal. Whatever happened to David Brock, he drank the Kool-Aid, and now he's working as one of Hillary's supporters, along with John Podesta. John Podesta knows everything Dr. Greer knows. I mean, there is so much that...
So how come he's following Hillary?
Let's just say it might have to do with the folks that surround Hillary that just kind of said, we got a job for you.
Yeah, and if you don't accept the job, then we'll take care
goodbye.
Of it. Goodbye, right.
And it's that
did
simple.
Did the same thing to John Lewis and to Morgan Freeman.
They leaned on Morgan Freeman and basically told him, you're going to support Hillary as you want to breathe. It's not fun.
You've got to put these folks in the circle of support.
Yes. And I would like to place our E.T. mechanic's wife in the circle of support tonight. She's had a little bout with dealing with the increase in frequencies, and she's wanting to
leave.
To leave, and it's not her time.
No.
She's got two kids that are still growing, and just
a send. Beloved husband.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so all this is still happening, and at the same time, the DNA is being evolved.
That's right. The DNA is the next stage of our internet called the internet, and this is the way we used to communicate all the time for eons. I mean, it's what I remember. It's how everything works with the Solexmal language, light and color and sound and vibration and frequency and the symbols. It is the symbolic language of pictures. That is how we do it.
Right, and this is why we're getting a new money system.
Yes.
All of that other stuff you've got to realize is in the old money system, the dinars and the dongs. That's why that will never happen. And the reason that will never happen has got to do with the fact that Nassar is here already.
Yes.
And that the founders of our country cut a deal with the British king, allowing him to retain control of 19 constitutional enumerated essential governmental services, all in the jurisdiction of the sea. And this split the jurisdiction owed to American states and people and created two different populations of people from the outset.
the free, sovereign, and independent people of the United States and the British subject inhabitants who remained to prove these services under the Constitution, provide these services under the Constitution. The so-called federal government was never a sovereign government. It was always an association of sovereign nation states, and it was never our government, though it was under contract to serve us. It was always a foreign government operating under the foreign jurisdiction of the sea and the equally foreign law of the sea. So long as the British king remained honest and honored his obligation to us to act as our trustee on the high seas and navigable inland waters, the future remained safe. Yet almost immediately the troubles began as King George wiggled like a fish on a hook and sought to regain his position over the Americans. These appeared to settle down after the War of 1812, yet by 1845, as the then Pope and the British King sealed a secret pact, agreeing that the egalitarian American Republic was incompatible with the idea of papal supremacy and the divine right of kings. The secret treaty of Verona was a grotesque, criminal, and highly secret British breach of trust by both the British monarch and the Holy See. Within 15 years, members of the American Bar Association, loyal to the British King, had elected Abraham Lincoln, a lawyer, to the office of President of the United States. Yet the meaning of that was he became the CEO of the commercial trading company deceptively called the United States Trading Company, not the land, not the country, not the organic states, and not the people. The actual Constitution already had provisions denying any member of the bar any public office. So in Lincoln's case, the only presidency he could occupy was as the CEO of the trading company doing business as the United States. And that's where the Bergabang Fund picks up, because it says, the slaves were never free. And so it is. Yeah.
I just wanted to say we need help with the radio as well as help for us with food and gas. Thank you. Bless you.
Okay. So, Rama, just watch the board, and if somebody's here, we'll stop talking. It is not a mistake that Abraham Lincoln led our country into a vicious civil war, the results of which we are still dealing with 150 years later. The Civil War was not about ending slavery, as you can see by closely reading the 13th Amendment of the corporate Constitution, called the Constitution of the United States of America, adopted by the perpetrators of all this criminality, betrayal, and fraud in 18... Woo! Oh, bless you, Cheryl. Bless you.
I thought I was sorry.
Kathy, which is actually a corporate bylaw. Let's see. The 13th Amendment of this, okay, where was I? And fraud in 1868. Though loudly proclaiming the abolishment of slavery, the 13th Amendment is this federal corporation document, which is actually a corporate bylaw, goes on to enshrine slavery as a permanent part of the newly formed federal corporation doing business as DBA, the United States of America, incorporated form of law. It makes criminals slaves and leaves the corporate Congress, an elected board of directors, free to define who the criminals are. A close reading of the 14th Amendment shows that they made everyone who was a United States citizen, federal citizen, a criminal by definition, a slave by definition, and a debtor as well. To this day, as these vermin bring innocent Americans into their private corporate tribunals, which are misrepresented as public courts, the charges are addressed to persons named after the victims. These persons are legal fiction, entities defined as public trusts and more recently as public transmitting utilities, and they are already guilty by definition. This is why it does no good for anyone mischaracterized as a United States citizen to claim the guarantees of the actual Constitution, and why these courts do not hear any of the laws or the facts of any case, and also the reason that their own court rules for judges admonish them to provide an appearance of justice where there is none. All that is really going on is a determination, I got two more sentences, of how much these criminals will charge you for their service and whether or not you will be impounded as cargo or held ransom as chattel, backing the debts of their corporation. This hyena's crying, duplicity, breach of trust, enslavement, and a merciless abuse of the American people has gone on for 150 years, and since the 1930s, things have only gotten worse. Until now, Nasara now, and I guess we have our guest, do we? Oh, no. Okay. So the very mechanism they hoped to use to finish us off was turned against them. And that's what Nasara is doing, and that's why they need to be held accountable. And that's why all these money programs mean nothing, because they have everything to do with the criminals trying to, you know, they're still selling these dinars and dongs and putting it in their rollovers and making fake money. You know, back in 1910, the precious metals and the gold and the silver in a secret meeting were dismembered from what we call our currency. Mm-hmm. And those same people plotted to create the Federal Reserve in 1913. And so we have all, no matter what the color of our skin, we've all been exactly what they describe as chattel. So that's what the king was saying. Wake up, everybody. And please, he said the divided light workers, which is what's going on now when there's people looking for that, that is pushing Nasara down the road. And so the light workers need to stop energizing that completely, because we are now in our own way home as light workers, divided. And there's so many representing something that's not right. So many setting up there and saying and equalizing that black op as part of Nasara. It's not.
No, it's not.
Please. And we love you, everyone. I don't know. Can we talk? Do we need to talk? Okay. We are missing our sister still. Okay.
Yeah. So let's just make a note to BBS to bring Omita on the phone line and have Marita do a sound check before we go too far here.
Just yeah.
Yes, no.
Did you hear that, Doug? Okay.
No, we want you to call
Omita.
And then we want you to do a sound check with Marita.
Mm. Okay. Well, so, while we're doing this, the DNA is next. DNA is the next internet. Have you logged into your galaxy today? That's the title of this article. And it's by Lisa Renee. And it's on
it is back with us.
Oh.
Okay. Should I take my
Marita?
Yes, I'm on the phone and I'm talking that way. Can you hear me?
There's a big echo coming from your phone or whatever you're doing.
Probably because you're still connected with Amina. Have you disconnected that conversation before we enacted this conversation?
Oh, yes, I did.
Are you sure?
Yes, because it's on that same phone.
We're getting a really bad echo right now.
Getting a really bad echo. You better try to hang up again and try that again.
Okay. Or, is the echo gone now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I have to listen through my phone.
Marita, do you want to try to text Omina? And because she's not coming up, and maybe she doesn't remember she's on
she
tonight.
She called me and said that she was having challenges getting, she couldn't get her Skype to come in.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well then, Doug, can you call Omina on her phone too?
Could someone type it in for me, please?
Go ahead, Marita, type that in for him.
Why all these technology challenges?
Yeah. Marita, if you type in her number, he will call her.
Okay.
So go ahead and type it in so Doug can see her number.
So how's that song go? Baker man, baker man, bake me that cake.
Patty cake, baker's man, bake me a cake as fast as you can.
Oh, that's it.
Get it and pick it and pit it and mark it with B. Put it in the oven for baby and me. Baby and me.
You'd know that.
I know that song. I learned it from my mother.
We're still waiting for Amina. Oh, there's Amina. There we go. I think we're going to get her now.
See? Do a little child song and you get magic.
I'm on.
Okay.
Hey. Finally.
Good job. Good job, guys.
I tell you that.
Okay. Well, welcome, Amina. We're glad to have you here. And
well, I'm telling you, sometimes you wonder what gets in the way of all this technology.
All right. Is there an echo? Do I need to unplug the computer? Are you hearing an echo?
I'm hearing a slight echo. You hearing an echo from me?
No. It just sounds like you guys are on
me. I'm having challenges as well.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you're coming through nicely, and I hear you, Marita, too, but you're just a little more faded out.
Okay.
So I think we're good now.
Well, welcome, Amina. We're happy that you're here with us and that we had challenges. And what subject are you going to speak with tonight? And then we will remind people that they can call in and do the 888-429-5471. And that will get them a opportunity to ask questions when we get to that point. So what's your subject for tonight?
Well, I was going to talk about healing. And, you know, healing does not mean curing. It just means healing from the inside out, you might say, from a spiritual level. And I believe a lot of people don't understand that. Healing does not happen until the ego pain is greater than the ego gain. And the negative personality will do its best to keep you in a state of need and dependency to the point that you think, feel, live, and come to believe that this is the way life is. So when you reach the level of saturation of pain, one or two things will happen. You'll have an experience to wake you up, or you will take yourself out of this world one way or another. That sounds kind of dimsel, doesn't it?
Mm.
Well, nothing changes unless you become aware first of the fact that this usually takes a tragedy, and it's true. Tragedies and illnesses are spiritual wake-ups that we keep putting off lots of times. We keep denying or keep putting off the work that we have to do on an emotional level to heal old wounds. We keep putting it off until a catastrophe of some sort happens. It could be an accident, it could be a major illness, it could be the loss of a loved one. Those kind of things have a tendency to wake us up. So you find yourself in a place where you have to take a look at your life or an outlook in life, and then you have to, when somebody's in a crisis, you have to figure out where you fit into that whole crisis, or you kick to the curb, so to speak, because of the crisis. and that brings up a lot of pain. But you still have to be, the ego pain still has to be greater than the ego gain. It's kind of like a battle with your ego. If the ego is very, very strong, it'll keep denying that you're in pain. Not if anybody has any questions. I mean, I could go on forever with this, you know. And healing occurs on the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual level, except that the problems is a dis-ease in the spiritual that comes down into the mental, that goes into the emotional, gets stuck in the physical, and then we're in pain. The real physical pain actually gets our attention before any of the rest of it does. So it manifests itself all the way down to the physical and settles somewhere in the body, and that's how it gets our attention that we have to heal, that we have, which is not curing. We can go to the doctor and get all what we need to cure certain things, but it doesn't always necessarily heal the problem. So
I think that's a really interesting point for people to understand.
Yes. Because especially when we bury old wounds, mostly in childhood, because when you go into survival mode, everything gets shoved into the subconscious mind. And it doesn't come back up until something triggers it. Like you find people that have trauma, post-traumatic stress, or if they have complex post-traumatic stress, then it's, if somebody has post-traumatic stress, it's usually maybe from one experience. Someone that has complex post-traumatic stress is where they've had several traumas. And with complex post-traumatic stress, when somebody has an episode, they're thrown right back into as if they're re-experiencing it for the very first time again. That's the complex post-traumatic stress. And the post-traumatic stress is having a response to a trigger, something that triggers it off. It could be a sound, it could be a touch, it could be a picture, it could be a person, it could be a tone of voice that will bring up the trauma, and then the person is in a crisis. And that's trauma that's very much buried in the subconscious, and oftentimes the person is not aware of it. When the trauma happens, sometimes they're not even aware of it until the symptoms become so much that they have to get professional help with it. So, and I know there's a lot of people walking around with trauma and are not really fully aware of it, and if they're having problems in their life, it's definitely a good idea to pay attention to what your body or your emotional body is trying to tell you, because the mind is very tricky. You know, you can have a little manipulating master in telling you that it's not a problem. And of course, being the lazy beings that we are, we believe it. So again, healing is all about healing the past traumas or whatever might be going in our lives, and healing our physical illness with the aid of medical, if you need medical as well.
The best way for people to end up, how do they get out of that cycle of not addressing it or not paying attention to it? What would be the best way for them to get on track to get to the healing space?
Well, the first thing, they have to be very aware of what's going on in their physicality, in their physical body, in their emotional body. Oftentimes, it'll tell them how to react or how to respond to a certain situation or a certain person. If they react, there's some emotional stuff going on. If they respond, they're having a healthy response to it. But you know how we all, I mean, all of us or whoever, if we're human beings, we're going to have certain things where we made absolute decisions about that some people might have made a decision, don't tell me what to do, when they were teenagers or young people. So they have a reaction when people tell them to do things because they think they're ordering them around. Rather, you know, you suggest it to them, they respond much better. I'm a little bit like that myself, but I'm very aware of it. So, you know, I'm very aware of that. But you have different, in the work when I was working with people living with addiction and HIV/AIDS, we would never ever touch or give a hug without their permission. I'm still like that. I always ask permission if I'm doing healing on them, if I can put my hands on them, because you can put your hands on a certain part of a person's body, on their shoulder or whatever it is, they could have a totally negative reaction because there could be trauma stored in there. And that often goes for children that are abused physically and sexually. And as adults, those memories are still in their bodies, even though they may not be consciously aware, but it triggers a reaction. So the first thing is to become very aware. We ourselves as people have become aware, but also to be assume that nearly everybody has trauma. So it's like respecting their space. If you're doing healing work on them, always ask for permission, because you never know what you're going to trigger. And they don't even know why they're reacting the way they are, because the memory is so buried. I'll give you an example. I was working with somebody that had gone into the hospital. This person was around 60 years old for an apnea test. And they put the machine on her face. And that was all fine and everything. But then I think a couple of weeks later, she was telling me that the doctor came in and he sexually abused her at nighttime when there was nobody else there. And I said, are you absolutely sure? Because we kept talking about this and I kept saying, you know, the doctor's probably not even on duty. So, and you're hooked up to machines and there's somebody monitoring you. I mean, you see you through a mirror window. So anybody came in, they would be noticed. Well, anyway, in the long run, what it did, she had buried it so much, she discovered out of all of that, she'd been sexually abused as a child. So when they put the thing over her mouth and she slept with it for the night, it triggered everything. And she was 60 years old. So
wow.
Yes, that brought up that whole part that she had denied. And now, of course, then she had to start on her healing journey and recognize that that was a major trauma in her life. And it predicted how her life went. I mean, it made so much sense to how she was able to look at it and see how the choices she made mentally, emotionally, and physically for the rest of her life. So that's just an example of how healing things are brought to us, things that we need to heal. There's things that happen to bring it to our attention.
That's really a good example of how that works. I mean, that's quite amazing, but Holt putting the hand over the mouth and all of that, we can understand it now as an adult.
Yes.
It's unless it's brought to our awareness, consciousness, no one would ever think about that.
And it makes perfectly sense, because oftentimes that's what predators do to children. They put their hands over their mouth to keep them quiet.
Exactly.
Yeah. So she felt like she was suffocating with this, with the because they put a mask on you for, you know, when you have to go to sleep for the test. And, of course, she was convinced that the doctor in the hospital came in and abused her.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, she didn't. But it began to stir the memory that she needed to bring up to heal. And I have to say she has healed wonderfully and is doing great. But
and
that's
I'll interrupt
that's,
here just a moment and remind everyone that if you'd like to call in and ask a question, 888-429-5471. And that's a toll-free for the United States and Canada. So if you'd like to ask a question of Amina, you're free to do that.
And while we're waiting, I will talk about grief, because that's another huge grief, of course, to come from buried from childhood as well. And everything seems to start in childhood that creates our problems as we grow older into adulthood and even grow older into older adults. And one of the things about grief, it has its own time and its own ways and its own everything. But the beginning of it is you go into despair first, and then you go into grief, then it goes to sorrow, then it goes to sadness, then it goes to hope, acceptance. And when you get to hope, then you get some sense of peace, and then the joy becomes back in your life. But these are necessary stages in the healing of grief. And I don't know if people can name what they're feeling, I think it's a major step towards healing. And of course, you know, I have my 5-minute train your brain. Name it, claim it, own it, heal it, let it go. And that's part, there's part of the steps that you have to do with unresolved grief, let's say. Children carry grief and it's unresolved until they become aware of it as they become adults, because again, people place some things, bring up things in us because they need healing. And one of the questions is, how does a person know that they need healing? Anyone can jump any time. I don't want to sound like I'm hoarding everything here. How would you know that you need healing? You could be agitated, sleep too much, eat too much anger. Anger is a great protector. Oftentimes there's an awful lot of hurt under there. And if there's a pattern of any of those things, that means that something needs to be attended to, acknowledged, named, and then healed. Okay? And if a person feels like they've been victimized when they were children, oftentimes they grow up still being in that victim, in the victimization part, and they think that that's normal. And other people come along and victimize, and that'll tell you that somebody has to do healing around that too. And how do you resolve it all? Again, you name it, you claim it, you own it, you heal it, and you let it go. If you can't do it on your home, on your own, find someone that can help you to do it. And I would also say, don't worry a whole lot about it. Just heal what comes up, because it won't. One thing about wounds that needs healing, it doesn't happen all at once, because the infliction didn't happen all at once. Your body will only give to you what you can handle at that particular moment. And that's the beginning of your awakening journey, your spiritual awakening journey. When you wake up and realize something is wrong on your mental, emotional, physical, or spiritual place, and that's where you have to start paying attention. And that's when your spiritual journey begins. If you're a religious person, most certainly use whatever you learned there to get to ask for help or to demand help. I strongly, strongly suggest people demand help. Don't beg for it, because that's part of being the victim. It's about this is your spiritual right to ask for healing and to receive it. Key, you got to be open to receiving. Anybody have any questions?
I wonder if the system is working, because we always have lots of questions when you call in.
Yes,
when you're on,
and we had people asking about when I was going to be on, and we made some of them aware I was doing it tonight. So I had a really hard time getting on. I mean, Skype sometimes has its own mind about things. I had to re-register and do
right.
all of that.
And normally you are on the third week, so maybe they're expecting that and not tuned in for that tonight. But we do have Debbie on line one now.
Hello?
Debbie?
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Hi, Amina. I was wondering if you could tell me if there's any health-related concerns that I might not be aware of that I need to pay attention to?
I'm looking. I don't see very much now. I see some dark areas around. Oh, okay. I see some dark areas around the back of your neck, your shoulders. So that would tell me that perhaps sometimes you don't always voice what you need, or you don't ask for what you need.
Oh, that's true.
Okay. So if that's true for you, then you have to start small ways of clearing up that energy and begin to ask for what you need and begin with what you're comfortable for. And if somebody says no, you're not going to drop dead, okay? If they say no, just remember this is not in your higher good right now.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So how do we know if we have something going on? How can we begin to to then figure out what it is. I mean, if we don't have you on the phone here to help us or on the conference call, how would you help people to begin to get quiet and assess this?
You're fading away, but the best thing is how you are you asking how would you know if you had something to heal?
Well, if you're alive, you probably do.
Okay. One of the things that you have to do is tune into your physical body. It's amazing how many people go around in their bodies, but they're not in their bodies. So they're not fully aware of what's going on in it. If there's something going on in your body, oftentimes it's trying to get your attention, and you have to figure out where is it in your body. If it's something that's persistent, where is it in your body? Then you sort of have to sit and meditate and say, okay, what are you trying to tell me? If it's in the chest area, if it's in the stomach area, if it's in, you know, if it's in your elimination system, your digestive system. People that have a lot of problem with their digestive system, if they look at their lives, they might really see where there's a lot of things that's going on. They can't stomach it anymore. They just can't take it anymore. If they've gotten to the point where they have this constant upset in their stomach or they're taking a lot of antacids, they need to take a look at what it is they can't stomach anymore. Because eventually it turns into a live medical illness that needs to be treated. And it stops. I'm not against medical treatment, but you know, a lot of people take things for reflux because that's the only way they get relief. But that's usually accumulation of dis-ease in their life, where they're not comfortable in whatever situation they are in their life, but they put up with it because they don't know how to get out of it. So it's all about looking at that. It's healing is work, because you have to look at the mental, the emotional, the physical, and what's going on. So it does take work. So what is it? I'm using that as an example. What is it that they can't stomach anymore? I'm sure lots of us have parts of our lives where we got to that part and then we changed it. So change whatever it is that no longer serves our higher good. And oftentimes you find a lot of the symptoms begin to go away. Like anxiety is a great, if it's not clinical, if it's not physiologically induced or medically induced from illnesses or something like that. But regular everyday anxiety is another, that's another way that oftentimes it hides things that has to be healed. I know that
and
helps.
And I think, should we have Glenda on line one?
Hello.
Hi, Glenda.
Hi. I wanted to talk to you because I am going through severe grief from losing my twin sister.
Oh, dear. I'm so, so sorry.
Well, thank you.
When did she pass?
She, July 4th. 2014, she laid down and never got up. She went to sleep and died in her sleep.
What's her name?
Linda.
Oh, Linda's her name. Okay, and she's your twin sister.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear earlier what I was talking about, how for healing grief?
No, not all of it.
Okay, I'm going to go through it again. You're going to tell me which part you're in. Despair is usually the first, then the grief, sorrow, sadness, and then you get to hope and acceptance.
I think I'm probably in hope or acceptance.
Okay. Would you like me to bring her in?
Yes, please.
Okay. She's telling me it was time for her to go, and it was time for her to go. She did not realize it would cause so much pain. But what she's also saying for you is to be happy for her. She's around you a lot. Do you know that?
Yes.
Yes. She's trying to let you know that she is happy, and she's trying to comfort you. She leaves little signs for you. She moves things on you. She moves things on you.
Yes.
It's almost like she teases you a little bit. She must have done that when she was alive with you.
Yes. The last day that she was alive, we spent part of the day together, too, that day.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes.
But she said she's very happy, and she said when your time comes, she's going to be there for you, and you're going to love it.
Well, good. I hope it's not anywhere near soon, though.
Oh, no, 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 no. You have complete free will choice. She just sailed off into the wind. That's what she did.
Her husband comes to see me quite a bit, and we're close friends, but we're not interested in each other, you know. He's my brother-in-law, and I'm her sister-in-law.
Yeah. Well, enjoy the company.
Does she understand that?
Yes, and she has no problem with that.
Well, good.
What's his name?
Jodan.
Okay. No, she has no problem with that at all. She's very happy that you dare to comfort him.
Well, good.
Yeah.
I figured she'd be not very happy with me.
Oh, no, 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 no. You've got to remember all that leaves when you leave your conscious body, and you leave that consciousness that goes with the body, then you go to a place of love. There's no judgment.
Okay.
Because you have to remember it's all about love, and if you're comforting each other, there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. I do have severe stress in my shoulders. It's happened the last week or so. I don't understand what's going on there.
Well, what are you carrying that you don't want to be doing? What are you doing you don't want to be doing?
I didn't know that I was doing something I didn't want to be doing.
Well, what you have to do is come aware of when you're doing things in your daily life, you just need to become aware of what's burdening you down. What's become a burden to you. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. And you can also ask for help to have it removed. But the other part really is about finding your voice, asking for what you need, and being open to receiving it.
Okay. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, are you there?
We have June next.
June?
Hi, Omina.
Hi, how are you?
I've been better. Two questions for you, if I may.
Sure.
I've been in physical pain for a while, and I was hoping you could tell me what the source is and how I can go about healing it.
Where is the pain?
All over.
Well, it sounds like your central nervous system is overreactive. You have too much heat in your body. It's almost like fibromyalgia. I'm not too sure if it is or not because I can't diagnose. I can only give you information. Let me take a look on a... tell me your name again.
Julie.
Julie. Julie, you're carrying an awful lot of fear about the future.
Yes, I am.
That's where your problem is. That's your core issue. So, you're afraid to step into it. Now, you have to remember that the fear of the unknown is irrational. Okay? So, when you look at it as being irrational and you take a chance, you oftentimes will discover the fear of the unknown, when you get there, is far better than what you know now. It usually brings you to a better place once you break through that fear. So you're paralyzing yourself with fear, and it's affecting your central nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to try some of the Bach remedies, and you might want to give Marita a call about that, because I know that she is wonderful with that, because they have the rescue remedies. Isn't that right, Marita? Well, anyway, try and call Marita about using the Bach remedies to help you get through the fear, and to be able to get figure out what it is you're afraid of in the future. Are you on? Can you hear me, Rita? She must be gone again. Are you still there, Julie?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So that's one question. What's your second one?
I was hoping if you could tell me what my guides and angels' names were.
I most certainly will try. You have, it looks like, a grandmother or a great-grandmother that works with you when you're sleeping.
Do you have her name?
I think it's Molly.
Mary?
Well, there you go. It's Mary, because Molly is part of Mary. The first one came
quick
in was
question,
Mary. But
no,
then,
sorry to interrupt. Just, both my grandmothers are called Mary. I'm just wondering if it's maternal or paternal.
Paternal.
Ah.
She works with you when you're sleeping. So you might want to ask her for some help with getting through your fear. Well, a Mary and a Molly came in, but Molly is derivative of Mary anyway, but it's on your mother's side. I know it's your grandmother, your great-grandmother, but it's one of those.
Okay,
she's telling me she's... Huh?
That's my grandmother.
Yeah, she just came in and told me she was your grandmother. And she also says you're way too fussy.
Yeah.
Isn't that delightful? So stop being fussy.
She was always an honest one.
Well, stop being fussy. She said it's hurting you instead of helping you, but she'll help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So start doing some meditations. You also have a guardian angel that it's a feminine essence, and you have one that's a masculine essence. They're trying to balance out your energy if you would let them. So you need to give them permission when you're sleeping to do that. And I'm not getting the name on the feminine, but I'm getting the name on the masculine. His name is Tor, T-H-O-R. That's a strong name. That's the masculine. That's a guardian angel that works with you, protects you.
Now, is he an angel aspect or a Venusian?
He tells me he's an angel. I have no. What's a Venusian?
Oh, someone from Venus.
No, he's an angel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Amina, and I will write Marita, and I will work on everything. Thank
absolutely
you so very much, and many blessings to you.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Marita, are you on? Did we lose Marita again? Anybody? Okay. Can anybody hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Tara, Rama.
I hear you just fine. Yep, we hear you.
Okay.
Oh, good, because there for a minute, I'm total silence. I don't know. Where's Marita gone?
I don't know.
Okay. So any of you on the panel have any questions?
Oh, I do. I'm going to ask this question. So we're talking about healing something going into our body, and for someone like myself that has a diabetic condition since 2011, I've often thought and looked at it from Louise Hay's point of view,
mm-hmm.
where she speaks to not having enough sweetness in your life. Therefore, so I've been working through that and feel like I've cleared a lot of that up, yet I still have this condition, and it's even being more aggressive, so that my intake of the metformin is higher now. So I'm not so pleased about it. I'm not sure how to get around it in my head to
correct it.
Any suggestions?
Well, the thing about, I mean, I'm familiar with Louise Hayes and not having enough sweetness in one's person's life, and of course that can be interpreted many different ways depending on the individual. And I'm talking, who is this, Tara?
No, this is Kathy.
Oh, Kathy. Okay. Well, that's why I asked that. Because I need a name. That's why, Kathy.
Yeah,
so,
thanks.
And you're not quite understood. So I would ask, you probably have type 2 diabetes, right?
Yep. Yes, correct. Okay.
Right. So the thing about bringing sweetness into one's life, you have to bring in the gratitude and the joy.
Yeah.
Because that's where the sweetness come from. Let me just look, with your permission, what the block is.
Yeah.
Well, you're angry about it, for one thing.
Well, I've never been sick, so yeah.
You're angry about this condition, and you find that it's very unfair. So that's blocking the sweetness, actually, because you can think the sweetness, doesn't mean that you feel it. Okay?
Yeah.
So it's about maybe accepting right now where you are and accepting that you're dependent on something to keep your blood sugar in place. If you start accepting that and don't focus on it too much and start looking, bringing in more sweetness into your life and getting more out of your life and enjoying it, or seeking out what gives you pleasure and what gives you what you're grateful for about. And I bet that when your blood will begin to get its own balance, because your blood is your life. I mean, that we don't have blood, we don't have life, really. It's streaming to your whole body. So it's about removing, acknowledging that the anger is there and that you're not accepting it. Again, it's naming it, claiming it, owning it, healing and letting it go. And really take a look at the anger and see how much is it controlling everything in that part of your life around the diabetes, okay?
Well, I want to just say this about that. If I could just get a little bit more clarity. I don't feel angry. I have been disappointed, and I was angry, but I feel like I've come to accept it, and I also feel like I'm a pretty grateful person for everything.
Yes.
So is there something I'm missing? I don't know what I'm missing.
Well, I don't know if you're actually missing anything. I think that you probably have it all lined up and you have it in the right place where you want to have it. But what it is that every time you take a pill, it reminds you that you have diabetes. So you have to see, is that a stressor for you?
Hmm.
Well, I would suggest you take that pill, you put it in your hand, put some energy into it, that it's going to go very well with your body, and that what you're going to ask for is that you are not going to become dependent on it. You know, you still keep doing what you do until your numbers are properly the way they need to be. And it depends also on, you have to look at, doctors get all excited if somebody's blood sugar is 110. And they want to put them on medication right away. The body then becomes dependent on that. As where 110 is not that bad at all. I don't know where yours are, and you don't have to tell me where it is. But it's looking at all those numbers and see where they are. But bless the pill that it's going to control this to where you're going to be able to come off of it.
Well, it's just been increased, like doubled. My medication was doubled.
Well, I'm not seeing anything else I'm looking at your body. At least I'm trying to look at your body to see what might be a little bit off in terms of I get the pancreas. Is your pancreas okay? I'm not a mystical person.
Well, diabetic has to do with your pancreas.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. That's what they're showing me. They're showing me the pancreas, and
yeah,
it's a little bit. It's I want to say it's a little larger or something than it's supposed to be, but maybe it's overcompensating.
I'm a bit at a loss with this because I've never been sick, and now that this is going on and I've had to accept it and move through it. And now my medication is higher and I've worked so hard at the process of changing the way I eat. And
yes,
it's like so constant. You can't, and I'm not doing better. I'm getting worse. So
they're telling me that it's going to come into balance for you. Are you going to a diabetic specialist?
Well, I have a doctor and I do have someone that I'm talking to that's a nutritionist. That's helping me.
try and find a diabetic specialist, maybe.
Well, because I think that's what she calls herself.
Oh, okay, because maybe the maybe it's because you become dependent on the medication that you need more of it.
Mm.
Do some meditation on it and ask for help to heal the pancreas.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Marita, I don't know. Marita is giving us a little message here that she's hearing more than one conversation. So BBS, I don't know if there's something that can be done with helping Marita get that clear, or whether she's back on the phone line. I'm just not sure. Just looking for a little help with her.
Right. And I told Julie to call her about the Bach remedies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah. So, okay. So any more questions? Let me see if I have anything else to say about... affirmations for healing. I think anyone that does use Louise Hay, I think definitely that's a great way to do those affirmations to bring everything into balance.
Yeah. Being grateful, that's also a way to bring things into balance.
Absolutely. And you know, with everyday life and with all the things that we have to do with life and go through them, oftentimes it's work. I mean, it is work to keep ourselves spiritually balanced. And the way I do it, I just get whatever affirmation I need to do, I get it into my brain that it just keeps coming in, and I keep saying it when it does. And it actually, that helps to keep me balanced in whatever it is in about accepting who we are and where we are.
Yeah.
And asking for healing in things that we're not aware of at the time, so to speak.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the key. Ask for what it is that I'm not aware of that I could be doing differently or seeing differently.
And definitely make sure that when you do ask for that they show it to you gently.
Okay. Yeah, because, not a bad idea.
Yeah, because sometimes they can come in like a storm, you know. We don't need storms. We need the lessons to be gentle, and they can actually be funny too.
Yeah.
I ask them to do it gently and make it funny.
I like that.
Yeah. And they actually do, because it makes it lighter, and then it's not such a strain on us. It's not such an emotional trauma or such a strain on us when we get our lessons in a gentle way, because we can heal gently as well as we can heal in a storm.
Sure.
Doing it stormy is a little more difficult.
You know, something just came up for me. I was just wondering, are you married, Amina?
No.
You're not married. Okay.
I watched for 23 years.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They were my growing years. The more he opposed me, he was my greatest spiritual gift, God bless him. The more he opposed me, the stronger I became.
Yeah, how about that?
It's marriage. Yeah. I have nothing bad to say about the man. I outgrew it. I just grew up.
Well, I guess the thought that came to my mind was, you know, when you have someone that's so tuned in like that, and your mate has to live with the fact that you know what they're thinking or feeling and all these things and how that goes, you know?
Well, you have to remember, I don't do it without permission.
Oh, that's right. That's a big
one. Yes, and it didn't matter because he wouldn't hear any of it anyway. So, and the funny thing about it is we're both from Ireland, and Ireland is full of natural healers. And he even went to him when he was a young man. And he had a whole bunch of warts on his hands. And he went to a healer, and within a couple of weeks, they were gone. So, of course, when I started doing my stuff, he didn't want to know anything about it. But I do believe that's the way my life was supposed to go, because it forced me to grow and to be able to accept and acknowledge my natural born gifts that I was given, that I had to do something for the higher good with them. So I did my marriage, raised my children, and just grew out of it. I just grew up. I mean, I got married very young. And then one morning, you know, he just said something about, well, you're not the young girl I married. And I said, you're absolutely right. I'm a grown woman now. So, of course, you know, the rest is history.
Yeah, how about it?
Yeah.
When is your birthday, Omina?
319.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Happy birthday. If we don't catch up to you, we should all send you a little birthday wish.
Well, I would love that. Did you want to know the year?
Happy birthday, Omina. But Kathy?
Yeah.
I looked up our Pava Arola book, you know, about diabetes. And the first thing he says is that diabetes is a prosperity disease, right up front.
Really? Like, what does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
It means that you do not feel whole somehow. Like you might not be, there might be something going on blocking the assimilation of nutrients in your body. That could be something that's going on.
Well, it's like abundance.
Yeah, and in general, I mean, Kathy, you're not overweight. I mean, unless something changed since the last time.
No.
Saw you, but in general, most people who have diabetes are overweight, and they're eating the wrong food, and so you're not getting a balanced diet. And then it goes on, and it says it can be emotional, too.
Right.
You know, feeling emotionally, in lack.
I think like all this dis-ease comes from spiritual into the mental, into the emotional, into the physical, and it could be lack of abundance.
Yes.
Having fear of not having enough. All of that can manifest itself in many different ways. I don't know if it's related to diabetes, but it sounds, Tara, about the same thing you're saying. It sounds like it could be that kind of abundance. And you'd have to check that out for yourself, Kathy, in your meditations or wherever. Are you lacking abundance somewhere in your life?
And yeah. The other thing it says, Kathy, are you still eating any kind of meat?
Very, very little meat in my life for the last few years. In fact, I've been off meat primarily for more than 10 years. I still eat it, but it's not like weekly. I don't eat a lot of meat at all.
Okay, that's good. And because one thing they say about meat is if you're eating meat, it could react and turn into sugar, especially if your body's not wanting it.
Yeah, no, I'm good there.
And the other thing is that, let's see. They're actually saying that you need to be on a strict lacto-vegetarian diet and basically no meat. And
what's the lacto mean? What's lacto?
Oh, you can have some dairy if you choose.
Right.
Yeah. It's almost
like if you have, you hear all the time, if you're going to have something sweet, make sure you have some fat with it because it slows down the insulin release in your body.
Mm. Yeah, it also does say that if your body's getting too much fat, that can also be a problem.
It's about like if you eat ice cream, it has enough fat in it to slow down things in your body where that's very
Think what they're recommending here is like for instance goat yogurt, for instance.
Yeah. Or goat cheese.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And of course organic. And be real careful because GMO can cause diabetes all by itself.
What's GMO?
Genetically modified organisms.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you can actually get diabetes from...
And you know, when we had, what is the gentleman's name that, Lloyd Mears, remember? I mean, we haven't heard from Lloyd
Mears.
He always said, this is something, Omina, that maybe you've never heard of, that I remember him saying, and it never left me, because he was saying that the product, our fruits that we buy in the grocery stores, when you put them in those little plastic bags...
Yeah.
They're in those plastic bags for 10 minutes or more, which is very probable.
Yeah.
Because you're going to go through the grocery store and it's sitting in that bag the whole time. By the time you get home, that 10 minutes is long since passed. And it brings on diabetes.
Absolutely. And what it also gives you is bisphenol A that's in the plastic. And that destroys your immune system right there. I never buy anything in those plastic bags at all. We buy them in paper bags that are provided at the store.
Right.
And we never put anything in those plastic bags. They're really not good at all.
So you might want to do something like that, Kathy. That's really good.
Yeah, I have to. Yeah, okay. That's a good point that I brought up, and thank you. Thank you for that, both of you. We appreciate it. Maybe we could talk about somebody else's stuff.
Maybe we can.
you know, Kathy, when we're talking, you know, that everybody else is listening. You know,
and it provides information to everybody else. Sure. And there's a lot of people out there that are living with diabetes in one form or another, mostly type 2.
And it also says that you should be getting lots of exercise.
Yeah, and I go to the gym every day, like 4 days a week. That's a lot, an hour.
Oh,
that's a lot more than I do.
And I'm definitely not overweight at all. So go.
The truth is, you don't have to be overweight to have diabetes. Right. There's a lot of people that are not overweight that has it. There's a lot of people. One of the things I did find out, and there's a lot of people that are overweight that does not have it. And I remember a doctor explaining to me, because one of my friends needed a kidney, and I was going through all the tests to see if I was a match for her. And we were talking to diabetes, and I said, well, how come some people get it and some don't? And how come some people get diabetes too? And she says that it has to be in the family. There has to be a genetic. She said, there's no genetic code there, it doesn't matter what weight you are, you won't get it. But if somebody in the family, it could be way back. If it's in your DNA, at some point you could get it. I mean, it's very possible, Kathy, that it's in your family and you weren't even aware of it.
Yeah, we think that that's a possibility. My sister remembers my grandmother might have gotten it late in life. None of us remember it. It's not a subject that anybody ever brought up to any of us. So it makes me think, well, there must be a little code in there somewhere.
And that's what she said. She said that you're not going to get it if the code is not there. But if the code is there, you're at a higher risk for it.
Yeah.
And that made a lot of sense to me.
I'm sorry. They said something else here that I didn't know. And it says prevalence of diabetes is much higher in soft water areas. Are you getting soft water in your house?
Well, I've always been a part of the public utility system, so I guess that is soft water. But I do not drink water out of the tap probably in 30 years. I just refuse to do it. So, I mean, I do bathe in that water.
Right.
But so, I would imagine it could be genetic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely could.
Yeah. Well, when she explained that to me, I understood a lot more about, because I have six sisters that are all still living, and I have six aunts. One of my aunts has diabetes, and she's much older now, of course, but she's a small little person. But then I have an aunt that's 2 weeks older than me, and she got diabetes after she turned 60, and she's a tall, slender person, and she's no longer dependent on medication, though. But because of his family, somebody ringing bells?
Yeah, I heard that.
Oh, that's on our, it's our phone when somebody sends a tweet or something, it goes, ding! it's nice.
Let's just jump off the health thing and talk about energies coming up. Here we are. We're having this eclipse, and we're moving into this next. When is the equinox is going to show up? Any thoughts about this particular high energy point that we're in?
I have none. I haven't looked at it at all. I mean, I know that we're having. I thought we already had it. We didn't have it yet.
Well, we have an equinox on the 21st, don't we?
The spring equinox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And tonight is a solar eclipse. Today is a solar eclipse, or yesterday?
Yesterday.
Sorry,
the day before yesterday. It was the 8th, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So, but it's always 3 days before and 3 days after. That, as a matter of fact, we were looking at the moon tonight, and it's like a tiny little sliver, you know, it's starting to show up now. But there was a complete ring of light still around the whole, you know, like a whole circle of light, real thin, but still there. like you do. You usually see that in the eclipse, but it's 2 days later. That's pretty outrageous. And the other thing is it's a super moon, which means that the moon is really close to the Earth. That's important to know. And so it's very, very sensitizing and very, very strong. And it can be good as long as you're aware of that. I wanted to say one more thing, Kathy, because I thought this was an excellent paragraph, just if you don't mind, because it says you need to have an alkaline diet, as much fresh and raw fruits and vegetables as possible, not cooked, and to have Jerusalem artichokes, cucumbers, and string beans, that they're really good for you, that you can
use them. I eat all that. I eat that way, yes.
Yeah, she takes care of herself. Like I said, I think it might be in your DNA.
Yeah.
It's very possible.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
It's all definitely good advice. When I become very, very rich, I'm hiring a cook.
And you're in Indiana, right? You're in Indiana.
I'm sorry, what?
Are you in Indiana?
No, I'm in Connecticut.
Oh, why did I think you were... Somebody must be in Indiana. Oh, I think Annie Rose was in Indiana. So you're in Connecticut.
Yes.
Oh, okay. What part of Connecticut?
Ellington. It's about 15 miles east of Hartford.
Okay.
Yeah.
My grandmother was from Danbury.
Oh, wow. That's good. Yeah, it's a couple of hours from down south.
Okay.
But that's closer to New York.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So my time is nearly up here. I don't know where Marita went.
Where did Marita go?
If you look at the board, you can see Marita is responding to us. And
you hear me on the phone?
Yeah, now we hear you. Yes, Marita.
Okay. Well, we are grateful that you've had shared the evening with us. And if you want to come back again, maybe we'll have better technology the next time.
Right. So, let me know if you want me to come on next week.
Okay.
I'd be willing to do it. So,
all right. Well, that would be wonderful. And is there anything else that anyone wants to add before we close out for tonight?
Well, I just want to say I love having you on the program. Your information is always so solid, and I appreciate it. We
Thank
do
you.
Have a caller, however, Marita Robert. We have somebody that just showed up, so...
So we'll wait.
I think I just said, no, I just said I and Annie Rose are in Indiana.
No. We have Lynn.
Okay.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Lynn.
Yes, hello.
How are you?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, do you see any kind of true love coming into my life?
That is the most popular questions. I'm not laughing at you at all. That's one of the most popular questions, and I don't know what your definition of true love is. All I can tell you is that you're not ready right now for true love, so you have to figure out what that means to you, and also that when you have to become what you're looking for. So if you're looking for a true love, you have to truly love yourself first in order to love somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're sort of struggling with that, you might want to take inventory on about exactly what it is you're looking for and be very, very specific as far as gender and habits and whatever it is you're looking for. Put it down, write down what you're looking for, then on the other line, see where you match up to that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you ask... If you're open and ready, then you ask for that person to come into your life.
Yeah. Very
easy. I know it's not easy having to tell you that because, I mean, I could make up a big story, but that would be no fun. You know?
Yeah, I do know.
It's amazing how we're always looking for true love and we need to look at ourselves first. To be true to ourselves first and to love ourselves enough to allow somebody else to love us. But don't give up hope. Keep doing it. It'll happen one day when you least expect it. You'll probably trip over him or her, him, whichever. And you'll go, what was that?
Lynn, this new moon solar eclipse, it says it's a really, really good time to envision peace. And I think if you can come to that place, then that's a really better place than ever to find true love in yourself.
Absolutely. And envision love with the peace. Envision a peaceful love.
Yes.
Yeah. The new moon threw me off so much, I convinced everyone last week that the clock was going forward. Now I have to convince everybody this weekend that it's not going forward. I've been a whole week ahead of myself.
Oh.
Weird. So, Lynn, I wish you luck in your pursuit of happiness and true love.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
We are so grateful to have you, and we always enjoy your comments, and I get many emails about your appearances here. Before you go, though, would you please give your contact information?
Yes. My contact information, my website is Omena, O-M-E-N-A, 777.com. The phone number is 860-871-6076. Call and leave a message, and Richard will call back if you have any questions about appointments. He takes care of them for me. And you can email me at ominacenter777@gmail.com. Do I need to repeat that?
One more time.
Okay. Website is Omena, O-M-E-N-A, 777.com. Phone number is 860-871-6076. Leave a message and Richard will contact you. And my email address is ominacenter777@gmail.com.
Roger that.
Okay. Great.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your talent, and we'll look forward to having you back here again. And if there's any other announcements or anything anyone needs to make, let's do it. And then we'll close out for tonight with some music from BBS. So we thank all of you, and we bless you on your way as we complete this day. Good night.
Thank
all.
You, and bless you all too. Good night.